The Bible and Modern Science with your host, Dr. Joseph Henson of the Science Faculty of Bob Jones University. Here is Dr. Henson.
Thank you. On our last program, we had sort of taken a break in looking at all of the insect characteristics, but we had gotten to the point of being ready to look at the parasitic side of insects. There are some insects that are themselves parasitic. There are some that really don't cause a great deal of trouble apart from irritation. There are the chewing lice, the Malophaga, that normally feed on their external parasites on birds and mammals and feed on hair or feathers or tissues of skin on occasion. But they don't, other than that, they do not cause problems. Now, I have a personal testimony involving how irritating that can be. I really never had any sympathy for that particularly. Some of my graduate work, in fact, most of it had to do with studying insects that were parasites on animals. And I really didn't have any occasion to sympathize with the animals particularly until one day we were getting ready to do some research on chicken lice, and we were going to test an insecticide, and if you're going to do that, you have to be sure that the chickens you're testing have lice. So we had to go and catch the things, and one of the graduate students had rigged up a Rube Goldberg apparatus. We found one of the chicken farmers close to Clemson and went out there and were catching lice. What his creation involved was a big sheet of plastic with a hole in the middle of it and a hose attached to a carbon dioxide cylinder. We would stick the chicken's hind end back down in the plastic, turn on the carbon dioxide, which had the effect of anesthetizing the chicken lice, and then brush the feathers on the back of the chicken, and they would fall off into the plastic sheet, and then we would shake them into a gallon jar. Well, after a morning of collecting chicken lice, we stopped for lunch and happened to go down to a steak place in a little town that was one of our favorites to eat. And I'm sure the owner of the restaurant was very happy when we left, because we spent most of the meal chasing chicken lice around on ourselves, under our clothes, on our skin on occasion, in our hair. And I'm sure some of the patrons wondered what in the world the four of us had gotten into, that we went through all these contortions through the course of the meal. But I discovered what the irritation can be when you have any kind of an arthropod that is crawling on you, crawling all over you. And I began then to have some sympathy with some of the figures that I had read about the ability of some like parasites to cut down on milk production, for example, or cause the loss of weight in beef animals or whatever. Now, this is primarily irritation. It's usually not long-lasting. It usually is not lethal, but it simply is something that would cause an effect on animals, and depending on what kind we're talking about, it would affect the owner's pocketbook at some point. So that is one of the possibilities for the parasitic aspect of insects. There are some sucking lice. These are also external parasites, but they are blood-sucking, and they will cause irritation, obviously. But in many instances, particularly on animals, the opening in the skin becomes infected, and then you can have sores and the possibility of secondary infections and a number of other consequences from that, which, depending on the organism that you are attempting to raise or that you're depending on for your livelihood, these are things that you have to take care of. You have to provide some method either of preventing the insects from doing the biting in the first place or controlling them. And it's one of these things that you have to be aware of. You have fleas and bed bugs and other insects that are blood suckers. Any kind of a blood-sucking organism is conceivably a threat to the host that it's sucking blood from. We will talk in a moment about the types of parasites. Generally, two types. One of them is known as mechanical transmission. This means that they simply stick their proboscis into an infected organism and suck blood, or they come to the organism that they're getting blood from with bacteria or viruses or something else on their mouth parts, and as soon as they push these through the skin of the organism to get the blood, they have infected that animal. So this is a possibility with each of those. I don't think of any disease that is normally attached to bed bugs, but I can again speak from personal experience about the effects of those. We were living on a little farm out in Texas when I was growing up in the first grade, and we had a bout with bed bugs. And we did not have at that time some of the weapons that we have now to take care of them. And I remember that we were trying out sulfur and coal oil and other things around the baseboards and so on. And whether through good fortune or whatever, I think we finally managed to get rid of that particular infestation. But when you are asleep at night and these things bite, and at the time they're biting, you are not aware of it, but most of them cause a very intense itching. And if you've had to spend part of your normal sleep time scratching intensely itching spots on your body that bed bugs have gotten blood out of, then you can appreciate the effect of these organisms as well. There are many organisms where the immature stages of insects will take place in other organisms. I'm thinking now about things like screwworms or some of the other this primary in flies, many instances in flies, where eggs either are laid in or make their way into the body of the organism, and then the development of the organism, the parasite takes place inside the body of another organism. And if you're the organism that this development is taking place in, there are all sorts of difficulties that you can find yourself involved in. And we'll talk about the two types of pathogens perhaps in a moment. I'm not sure that our time is well spent to try and catalog all of the different kinds of parasites, but from a little bit different standpoint, they are of much more importance than a person might think. Okay, so you get bitten by a mosquito, and the mosquito sucks some blood, or the louse sucks some blood, or whatever. So what? Well, under most circumstances, that's a legitimate question. There's not likely to be any long-lasting effects from that. But in some cases, the insects are going to have pathogens, disease producers, that they will inject into the body of the host. And there are several diseases we'll talk about before we're done that are where the pathogen is transmitted from the insect to the host itself. Bites and stings of venomous insects, and even the disturbance by parasitic insects, in some cases may be severe, but they are not usually fatal. Many of the insect-borne diseases do have a high mortality rate, which we'll talk about. Generally, if it's simply a mechanical transmission, anytime there is the possibility of blood feeding, then you have the possibility of a mechanical transmission of these things. I think of such things as horseflies, for example. I'm aware of at least once when I was bitten by a horsefly. Now, in insect taxonomy, we had to key these things out, and I remember looking at the mouth parts of these things. And once you see them, it's almost like they're ramming a little shovel through your skin. So it's not difficult to understand the discomfort that they can cause, but it's usually not lethal. There are some, however, where you have a change of stage of life in the host, where the eggs will be laid, and then the insect goes through a whole series of changes and comes out a very different organism from what had been implanted there to start with. And in those cases, great deal of difficulty. I remember reading one case back, I think in the 1800s sometime, of some people in Kansas that apparently one of them, I remember it was a cowboy, had fallen asleep and gotten off the horse to rest and taken a nap, and apparently his shirt was loose and came up above his skin, exposed that, and then he found a little track of itching that occurred all through, all around, all over his body, almost from every part to every other part. And finally, they discovered that this was because of an insect larvae that had been eating its way around through the body of the host and finally pupated, dropped out of the body and pupated. Let's talk a bit. Let me make one other comment here. Any of the insects that are so-called filth feeders, insects that either live in human fecal material or garbage or any place that you're likely to find bacteria or viruses, are at least potentially serious conveyors of those other organisms to humans. Again, with a variety of consequences. Sometimes simply short periods of fever or whatever, in some cases much more serious. But for all of these reasons, as well as others, insects are particularly important. I'm thinking now of the matter of human deaths. There are two diseases in particular which have probably caused more human deaths in the history of man than any others, and in both cases some of the dipterans, the flies or mosquitoes, have been the host for these. And before we have a chance to talk about it on the program, you might give some thought to it. What two human diseases have killed more people than any other, at least up to this time? And we'll talk about those diseases a little bit in our next program.
Thank you, Dr. Henson. You may send email to Dr. Henson at jhenson@bju.edu. That's jhenson at bju.edu. Or write to Dr. Joseph L. Henson, Box 34621, Bob Jones University, Greenville, South Carolina, zip code 29614, in the United States of America. You're invited to listen next time for The Bible and Modern Science.